Good morning, Turks and Caicos. I'm Edgar Howell with Everything Education. In the studio with me this morning
is Kevin Baxter. Good morning, Turks and Caicos. How are you doing?
Kevin, you sound like you're not even sure about your name.
Man, my name is always. I told you, I'm often imitated.
What happened during the week?
Never duplicated.
I am Kevin, like you're trying to find what comes after Kevin.
I was trying to give it a ring.
Oh. Next time, make it ring. Yeah. It's called wondering whether you had your coffee this morning, Kevin.
Exactly. Turks and Caicos, how are you doing this morning? It's a brighter Saturday morning from this week. We had some overcast conditions. I was listening.
Are you afraid of overcast conditions? This is the second Saturday morning you're here talking about overcast.
Let me confess, listeners. June 1st to November 30th.
You're scared.
I'm on edge.
It's people like literally. It's people like you who attract storms.
You think so?
Yeah, man.
Energy?
You spend your time thinking about it, so it comes looking for you.
Sir Ed, I watch the Atlantic region like I'm studying for a test. Uh-huh. Okay, I see a system developing. Okay, is it gathering strength? Is it? What's the pressure like?
Didn't you say that you didn't do too well in geography and science at high school?
Now I'm an expert between June and November. Yes, sir.
DDME, come and look for Kevin. He needs your help between 1st June and 30th November.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But listeners, we're happy that you've chosen to be with us this Saturday morning. Yeah. I want to say a special good morning to Mr. Bill Clear, the man for all seasons. I want to say a special good morning to Mr. Samuel Forbes. Mm-hmm. Former president of the vice president of the Turks and Caicos Islands Community
vice
College,
principal, actually.
Vice principal.
Yes, at that time.
Let me get it correct. Good morning. If you're having your fish and sardines this morning,
yes.
Do enjoy. And I also want to say a good morning to Mrs. Doreen Quelch Music.
Indeed.
If you're mopping or sweeping or maybe just sitting down near to a window catching some of that nice, cool Turks and Caicos breeze.
Yes.
I trust that you're having a good Saturday morning. And then my final good morning to Mildred Welcome. I trust that you're having a good Saturday today. So good to be in your company. And I'm happy that you have us in your company.
Of course. And Sir Ed, I'm also sending a special good morning to those who are leaving our islands this morning. It is so sad for you that you're leaving the Turks and Caicos Islands, but please return. And when you're leaving, if you have not done so already, please stop at Mama's in Ports of Call in Grace Bay before you leave. Ensure that you get a memento from the Turks and Caicos Islands, and you can get it right there over at Mama's. You'll be greeted warmly as you step through the door. That is a guarantee. And just tell them that Kevin sent you. How about that?
I have an interesting fact. I don't know that this is a whole lot of fun.
I don't know where you pull these from, man.
They come from somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay,
So listen to this. We throw away enough ribbon each year to tie a bow around the entire earth.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
We throw away enough ribbon each year to tie a bow around the entire earth. Would you like to see that?
For a minute, I thought you were talking about me. Just throwing away ribbons. But hey, I'm with you now. We'll start. Where will we start?
I don't even know where that was. We'll start in Turks and Caicos.
Okay, sure. Yeah. And then we go east.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we.
And then some point we'll show up coming from the west.
Okay.
And we tie the bow.
What do you suspect? How do we join the ribbons? Do we glue it or do we knot it?
We knot it. That's you tie.
Okay.
Not glue.
Okay.
Tie a bow.
How do we
All right, we have a guest.
No, you got me thinking.
You can think later on. When we go out for breakfast,
you can go around the equator. Right?
About that. Okay, we have Miss Gray back.
It's somebody's birthday before we bring our guest in.
I don't feel like singing this morning.
I'll sing, don't worry. So if you celebrated a birthday last week, you were celebrating a birthday today. It is your special day, and Everything Education celebrates with you. And so here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
You must feel really special, Kevin Baxter, for you this morning.
It's solo.
Yeah, whatever that is. What is solo again?
Solo is, I did it by myself.
Oh, you did? Oh,
without accompaniment.
Right.
I could have told you a cappella.
Not with the sun shining on you. So, although, yeah. And listeners, we're happy that you are here with us. We have Miss Gray back.
Another ray of sunshine is with us.
In our presence this morning, and we're happy that she decided to join us again.
Yes.
After spending such a lovely Saturday.
Yes, the last time we were here. DeAndre is, of course, the Assistant Education Policy and Planning Officer in the Policy and Planning Unit. DeAndre, the last time, DeAndre, did she invite us for breakfast?
No, she didn't.
DeAndre, what's a Saturday morning breakfast like for you?
Oh, probably, oh, good morning, Parks and Caicos, and good morning, gentlemen. Happy to be back. And probably toast with cream cheese and jam, very, very soft scrambled eggs and bacon.
Soft toast. Bread or soft scrambled
soft
eggs?
Soft scramble.
Oh, soft scrambled eggs. How do you cook that?
Sorry, I'm about to, I'm happy you asked first.
You cook it on low and you whisk it a lot and you ensure that it also has some form of liquid because they can dry out very easy. So milk or sour cream.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I eat scrambled eggs. We're bringing you to our house, to my house, to Kevin's house, whichever house, so that you can fix us some soft scrambled eggs.
So,
we can do it after this, right?
Yeah.
For sure. Come on over.
Yeah. I don't have a whisk, so we'll have to see.
Force will do.
Have to see how we make that happen. Anyway, it's good to have you back. Today, we want to share with our listeners some of the specific work that you're doing in the Policy and Planning Unit, especially to do with the data that comes from our schools.
Yes.
Because you don't just collect it, obviously, and we don't just use it at will. We do more than that with it. And so talk to us about what happens with that data once you collect it from schools on an annual basis, or however frequently you collect.
Okay, so we do collect it on data from schools on an annual basis. Sometimes we collect additional data throughout the year, but at least an annual basis, we collect information on student enrollment, staff, and basic data for all schools. In the Policy and Planning Unit, and I think the Ministry of Education at large, and especially the Department of Education, data is at the heart of everything that we do. It helps us to move from assumptions to informed decisions. That starts with the yearly school data collection, taking stock of what our education system looks like. So what are the number of students we're catering to? What does the teacher-student ratio look like? And how might that be affecting teaching and learning? What does our examination data look like? How are different groups doing? For example, how are girls' performance looking like versus boys' performance, and what trends we're seeing, and where the areas that need intervention. And besides informing our decision making, we also have responsibility to report to internal and external stakeholders.
Okay, and so that data then is captured. Well, we just keep it in the spreadsheet.
Oh, it is. We actually publish yearly, or we have a yearly representation of our education data published as our Education Statistical Digest.
Okay.
So at the end of each year, school year, I presume, or is it calendar
school
year?
School year, school correct. Year. So from September to May, June.
So as a member of the public or parent, I can just access this, how, and one, and read through it. It will outline everything that occurred over the past previous years or year?
Yes, so it's available to the public online. So as a part of the Ministry of Education's website, there is a report statistics section where we publish the digests yearly. I think the earliest one is 2013, and the latest one is the academic year 2020-2021, that very interesting academic year.
Yes, I can imagine.
Yes, and so it's accessible to everyone, but we are working on making sure everyone knows about it, and that it's not only accessible in terms of you can see it and read it, but you can understand it. So we are making efforts on making it even more accessible in those ways.
Ms. Gray, what's the importance of having the education data in a digest and available to the public?
So the digest, it allows every single person within our country to see where education is at. It's used as a communication tool, right? So it forms our public, and it informs our schools. So it's just the place where we want it to be a one-stop shop for every piece of education information that you can think of, even if it's not something that's directly in the digest. We want to ensure that, because it is digital, we want to ensure that there's links to where you can find the information that you want regarding education, whether it is for a parent to make a decision related to education, or for schools to see what is happening in education countrywide. We want that information to be readily available to everyone. And then even with, again, our own external report and our relationships with education bodies outside of the Turks and Caicos Islands, it's a communication tool also and a verification tool for claims we make about our education system in the Turks and Caicos Islands.
Is it helping us in any way to access resources?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. So I can actually think of a very particular example a few years back when we had the education. Oh, man.
Are you talking about the EDF 11 program?
The EDF 11 project. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had this project that was with the EU. And a part of the project, it included financial donation to the Turks and Caicos Islands government, particularly our education sector. But it was tied to meeting specific goals over a period of time. One of those goals had to do with teacher qualification within the Turks and Caicos Islands, because we all want to see teachers being, adequately equipped with the education skills to provide proper teaching and to our students. So that was one of the goals. And obviously the indicator or the measurement for that goal is the number of teachers that attained the requisite qualification over a specific period of time. So I remember at the time, I think the date that we were supposed to provide that measurement was swiftly coming. And at that time, we were struggling to get all of this data and to provide it to them, because we knew that teacher qualification was increasing, but the data that we had was not easily combined and able to present to the EU so that we can meet all of our goals for that tranche of the finances that they were providing. I am happy to say that if that was to happen today, we would very easily not only meet the goal, but we would very easily be able to give that information, because we've improved a lot on our ability to see where we're at in all of these different areas because of improved data collection and data management.
One of the things that I take away from that experience, as you recall, having to report on teacher qualification, I recall having to report on what you would have worked on this as well. I think Dr. Brewster was in place at the time. We were required as a part of the EDF 11 program to show that we had 96% of six-year-olds enrolled in grade one.
Yes.
That was a piece of work.
To get the data.
To collate the data. And see, you're not simply presenting the data to the EU the way that we thought it should be presented. Mm-hmm. It had to be presented so that when they looked at it, they could clearly see that we had the 96%, we were achieving 96% enrollment of mm-hmm. six-year-olds in grade one mm-hmm. In the given year. And I think we had to do that for three consecutive years.
Ms. Greg, you remember? Correct. Yeah. Yes, we did.
Yeah,
we did. A lot of interesting work. Lessons learned. Yeah.
Yes. Over the years. And so I don't know if you are still tracking the data in that way. Would you be able to at this very moment look at your database and say to us whether we are at that 96% enrollment for six-year-olds in grade one?
I would be able to do it in a matter of say 15 to 20 minutes once I get the data. But I think at that time years ago, it took a few days. Okay. So, yes.
And interestingly enough, Kevin and listeners, the EDF 11 program was not only about budget support, but there were three key contracts that helped to establish, to ensure. I think even the monitoring and evaluation officer came as a result of the work we did with EDF 11.
Yes, it did.
To strengthen capacity within country to be able to do this.
To keep these metrics in focus. Another important, as I listen to yourself and DeAndre reflect on the project, is it's a value to academia. Mm-hmm. Often we do research work, and if we do not have the requisite documentation, I remember that the digest actually assisted me when I was putting together a position paper for TVET with respect to the state of education. My only gripe was that it wasn't as current as I would have hoped. But it definitely holds a value for not only us within the ministry, but as you mentioned, regionally and internationally, especially when we are seeking international funding, because these are the metrics that they want to see. And if the data isn't available to them readily, as you said, they can just extract, then, you know, it may be problematic.
Well, you may lose the funding. You may not get it at all. You may get the funding. And so in terms of bringing the data current, because I think you mentioned already to our listeners that the last digest that we have on the ministry's website is for the year 2020-2021. We're currently undertaking a project to update our statistical digest, Ms. Greg. Would you tell us about that?
Yes, and I was smiling as Kevin spoke about ensuring that we have data available that is valuable to academia, because that is even one of the things that came up in our current project. So we do have a project that started, I won't say the date because I don't want to get it wrong, but it is the Education Statistical Digest Project, and it is specifically to update our data and to produce our most recent two digests for the academic years 2021 and 2022. So that's 2020 academic year 2021-22 and academic year 2022-23. So we're updating those digests to get them out to publish, because we want to make sure that we have data available to the public for the most recent years. And we want to improve on the timeline that we're able to publish that data. But not only the timeline and making those final, those last two digests available, we want to improve on the quality of the digest itself. We want to, as I said again earlier, ensure that it's accessible, that when a parent and or a student or anyone picks up a digest, it's something that they can easily consume, that they can easily find the information that they need. And so we're working with Kari Consultants Limited to improve on the digest, not only the final product, but all the processes behind the scenes to make it come to being. So we are in the final stages of that project. We have been lucky to have those consultants come here and be with us for a while, because we don't want, you know, we didn't want consultants who are far away and who cannot relate to what we do. The goal is to have this be informed by Turks and Caicos Islands data, experience, context, and not only that, but for them to build our capacity, the consultants that we're working with, to build our capacity so that we can produce this in the future. And the project is going really, really well. I think that at the end of it, we'll have a digest that can be compared globally to global education statistical digests.
Ms. Gray, the public would probably say that I know the answer for this already, but I'm going to ask on the public's behalf, the listeners. Is the digest simply going to be about statistics and just bland narrative, or is the digest also going to make some recommendations about what the trends, having observed the trends, what the ministry might consider doing, or that would have to be established by us digging into it ourselves?
So a little bit of both. It will provide interpretation for the data and speak about some possible solutions, but the onus will be on the ministry and the Department of Education to, like you say, dig a little deeper and make those decisions about way forward. To address anything that is being unearthed by the digest.
Mm. And I suppose for academia, as Kevin has already said, any researcher who might want to look at a particular aspect of the system and what the data is telling us about it. So we've been tracking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I want to say that we want to make data, even at the level of individual data, obviously individual anonymized data, more available, so that even our students who are studying here at Turks and Caicos Community College, British West Indies, abroad, and even they can have access to this kind of data to do their own research.
Hmm. Yeah, we've been tracking information like the GSET performance over the years. And so you can see the trends over 20 years of how children have been, cohorts of children have been performing. We've been tracking the performance in CSEC for almost just as long. I know I have a database that would tell you how we've been performing, I think, male and female from 2014 up until, the last time that I did any of that. I think Policy and Planning Unit is taking that on now. And then we do an analysis of the performance of students each cohort. So the CSEC results for this year, once that comes, an analysis would be done, but we have the analysis for 2024, and that's information that people can have a look at. Would that continues to be a part of the digest?
Absolutely. We look at particularly how students are doing at the end of primary, so before GSET, now CPA. We look at that data and how students are performing at the end of secondary school. We look at the rate, not only the rate of passes, but we look at things like how many subjects students are pursuing, how many subjects boys are pursuing versus girls. One of the common indicators that we look at is the number of students or the percentage of students that have been achieving at least 5 passes, including mm-hmm. math and English, because of the known impact that we know having attainment in math and English has mm-hmm. on a student's outcome. So we look at all of that, and we will definitely continue to look at that, and even hopefully more assessment throughout education, these education levels, and not only at the end of those education levels.
Right, sorry, Leandra, listeners, I'm sure you can appreciate the importance of trends and analysis. Deandra, you mentioned earlier the value of data as it relates to not relying on assumptions. Oftentimes you see the results, CSEC results or the examination results, and because we do not have perspective on historical performance, we make an immediate judgment, right, Deandra? And correct. It's important for us to be familiar with these type publications when made available mm-hmm. so that we as a learned public can appreciate mm-hmm. the work of the ministry, the work of the government, and even the work of our own local schools, you know, because we owe it to ourselves in informing ourselves so that we indeed can make better decisions, not only within the home, but also as a country, and which will feed into that in the national development goal, as you so ably articulated earlier, sir.
One of the things that I want to share quickly, I know we're coming up on the end of this timing in the program, mm-hmm. is there was somebody who did some work for us looking at enrollment in schools. And it was trending that there was a decline in enrollment mm-hmm. in public schools, mm-hmm. that children seem to have been moving to private schools or not engaging in schools at all. And some questions came up about it. And that's why I think it's important mm-hmm. to do the historical research, to look at other sources of data as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. Because while those trends, it appeared that the numbers were decreasing, you have to ask yourself, what was happening in this country mm-hmm. in 2020?
Mm-hmm. Right.
There you go.
Yeah. What happened during that period? And how many people would look at your data on education enrollment in schools and what was happening at the national level right. or country or social, right, even the global?
There you go.
And how that may have impacted on the numbers. Mm-hmm. So there were people who made decisions about leaving Turks and Caicos during that period. Mm-hmm. And especially when we started getting children back into face-to-face mm-hmm. classes, some people would have already left. Mm-hmm. But you need to be able to either have that historic knowledge or do the necessary research
right.
so that you're asking questions about why is this happening? Why am I seeing this trend? How do we explain this?
Go ahead. Yes, and looking at the complexity of the data available to you, because for example, what Ms. Baxter was just saying about, you know, public may see, you know, the examination results on the surface, or you may see, you know, the makeup of students on the surface at a graduation or the persons that are receiving awards. But even though data might seem overwhelming sometimes to look at, that's one of the reasons why we ensure that we provide some interpretation and some insight into the data that we put out there. For example, if you're looking at examinations, we've often seen a trend of girls outperforming boys. But the recent numbers that we've been seeing over the last few years, it does show that, you know, that trend of girls outperforming boys, but the gap is quite small. It's very, very small and statistically insignificant. But obviously the ideal thing that we want to see is not a consistent, you know, one gender above the other performing, but, you know, the ideal thing is to see them fluctuating so that we can see that and we can have evidence that it's, you know, there's no correlation between gender and education attainment. We want every group of children that we can think of, not only gender, but if we think about vulnerable populations within our community. We want to ensure that every group of children, every child is able to achieve the same level of attainment as much as possible.
Ultimately, it comes back to the one child. Mm-hmm. What are we doing for each child in this country? Ms. Gray, I want to thank you for taking your time to be with us this Saturday morning and for sharing with us so ably about the Education Statistical Digest, or the Statistical Education Digest, whichever name it is. It's reflecting data from the education sector, and we're making that available for people to do research, ask questions about what's happening on the system, and even make recommendations for how the system could be improved.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ms. Gray, do you have the word for the week?
Word of the week is brought to you by DeAndra Gray. Take it away, DeAndra.
The word of the week is ravenous. Ravenous. And it might tell you something about how I feel in this moment. Oh, but ravenous
Listen, you have to define the word first. Just hearing that word frightens me, though. Ravenous.
Ugh. So, ravenous is having a strong, it's extreme hunger, but it can also mean a strong desire for anything, a strong desire for satisfaction in any area of your life. But we often use it for, you know, being extremely hungry, but you could be extremely hungry for success, you know?
We'd use that.
It's okay to be ravenous on a Saturday morning.
That's where I'm staying.
Yeah.
Ravenous for success. That's where I'm staying. Thank you, D'Angelo, for giving me that one.
Turks and Caicos, I'm Edgar Howell, your host.
And I'm Kevin Banks on behalf of D'Angelo Gray. Do you have yourself a wonderful, wonderful rest of the day. And join us again next time for another amazing program heard only on RTC. All of the Let's unite.